Praise God. It's so good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's so good to be with everybody in this room. Amen. You know, whenever you think about praising the Lord, you think about being thankful. Yes. Typically, whenever I praise God, it's because I'm appreciative or I'm thankful for what God has done. And if you think about the things that He's done in our lives, it's plentiful. There are plenty of things that we can praise God for. I look back, and I know that there are some things I'm thankful for, and I think one thing in particular is the legacy that was left for me to follow by others. You know, I'm so appreciative of the individuals in my life that stepped into roles whenever I was a young boy. And whenever you look at things, for example, you look at what is a mature shepherd. Well, I've had the opportunity and the privilege of seeing that with the brethren in our church, with our local elders, our fellow members of the body of Christ. You know, and it was said, I think it was Brother Robert said it this morning, or someone did this week, you may be the only Bible or the best Bible that somebody else has a chance to read. And I'm often reminded of the thought of obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes taking that position where you're going to input into somebody else's life, it may not be convenient. It may not be the easiest thing in the world to do. But boy, I'm sure thankful that those people, like for example in my life, stuck in there and they put in there. And we need to be very, very ever-present minded that there are people watching you, each and every one of you. And you just never know when that opportunity is going to be presented, where God gives you that special mission, where you need to reach out and you need to participate in somebody else's life. You know, I've spoken before of having, as a young boy, running around in my grandparents' house playing, and me and my cousin running in and seeing my grandfather on his knees before God. And Grandpa was my hero. But when you equate all the things that made Grandpa hero, the way he treated us, the way he treated others, the way he lived his life, and then correlating that with what I observed when he was by himself, he didn't plan on me running into that room and seeing what he was doing. When he was on his knees before God, having tears run behind his, down his face. You know, I think of Brother Wager when I first came in the move. And I remember I didn't understand a lot of the technical aspects of what was being talked about. But there was one thing that I grasped onto and I could understand. And that was the spirit by which Brother Wager operated. Because that spirit is the same spirit from Brother Dave Love to Brother Doug Olson, Brother PJ, Brother Darren. It doesn't change. And when we reflect Christ, amen, and we put forth that into others that He has done for us, we can be thankful. So as we come tonight and we worship the Lord, I want us to think about that and worship God as if we are thankful for what He's done for us. Because someone, somewhere in our lives, somebody reached into your life and made a difference. It doesn't have to have necessarily been a parent, a grandparent, or whatever. There was a family member, there was a friend, an associate, a loved one. But somebody, somewhere, God put them in your path to reach down and to make a difference. So I'm so thankful for that, you know? And I'm kind of reminded of when the Apostle Paul, we talk about, you know, leaving a legacy for those that are behind us and those that are before us so that they can see. But leaving a legacy means that you establish something as a standard, therefore for others then to participate and follow in. And Paul told Timothy, he said, neglect not the gifts that were imparted upon you upon the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So each and every one of us operate with gifts. I would encourage you to reach down deep into your spiritual well and make sure you're participating and that you're not neglecting those gifts. Because Paul the Apostle, he also established a legacy with Timothy. And that was one of them. Timothy and Paul worked together. But he said, don't forget to use those gifts. What happens if you have a skill set and you don't use it or you don't practice it? It diminishes. You have to stay sharp at something. You have to continue to do it over and over and over. And repetition, in my world and what I do, we call it muscle memory. It means that whenever you're dealt with a situation or a scenario, your body automatically goes into an automatic response because you have continuously done that before. Our spiritual well-being, our spiritual life should have a muscle memory that when we are challenged and we are tried, we reach down and we pray. Thank God for what He's done for us. So tonight, as the Lord put something on your heart, I would encourage you, neglect not the gifts that are upon you. Whether you've been prayed over or not, the Lord will bring it to your heart, to your spirit. Take your liberties this evening. Take your liberties. Give thanks to God and walk in your ministry. Don't leave something out there. If it was meant to come out and you're the vessel of the Almighty God, don't leave it in your vessel. If it was meant to be poured out, get it out, because you're going to feel much better if you've participated and done what the Holy Spirit has led for you to do. Praise God. Well, let's stand. And I want to start off with page number on 86 in the back. The battle belongs to the Lord. And as you have songs, musicians, please come up. And you know what? I actually do want to take a quick pause in time before we start this. Bill Chinnis. Bill has got a prayer request that he wants to say. And I want to do this before the song service or else I'm going to run off and forget about it.
Yeah, so Rob and Oliver asked if we would just remember their family tonight. They just have a lot of life issues that they struggle with. They have two young children that are in their care, Aiden and Skye, beautiful young children. But, you know, it's a struggle to balance that with many other things going on. I think most of you know them, or many of you do. Many of you know their son Nick, who is married, relatively newly married to Melinda. And they have a little boy, Josiah, who is a couple of months old. Sorry? He's 1 year old? Okay, sorry. I was confused because he just had surgery. He was born with a cleft lip, and he had a successful surgery, but they're struggling in a number of ways. So we're going to remember Bruce and Robin and those children in their care. And then Nick and Melinda, their home as well. So let's just take this to the Lord together. Our Father, we love these ones that you've put into our lives. We know that once you have bound us together with those binding cords of love, they just can't be severed, Lord. We love this family, and we just grieve with them. In their grief and those struggles that they have, those responsibilities, those difficulties, Lord, we just sit with them and grieve and shed tears with them, Lord, for those things which are before them, which seem so great, Lord. For their weakness, Lord, we just pray that you will give them strength. For their decisions they have to make, Lord, we pray that you will give them a wisdom, O Lord. And as these stresses come, Lord, we pray that you would not cause these stresses to create a division, but Lord, you would cause it to cause them to draw together, O Lord, closer in their marriage, in their love relationship with each other throughout that family. We pray for Nick and Melinda, Lord, as they love the Lord, they love you, Lord, but they just have all sorts of struggles, both in the natural circumstances and in the spiritual, Lord. We pray you'll just be present with them, open their eyes to you, give them a real visitation, O Lord, of you, that they will have a new hope for that which you can do in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
She left behind two daughters in their 20s, and they also just adopted a son, and he's like 2 years old. So that's left to their father, Jerry Kellum, and the two girls to take care of. And so definitely want to lift them up. It was very sudden. They wasn't expected. So everyone's going through a lot of grief right now. But yeah. Dear God, thank you for your blessings and your mercies that you bring upon us every day. We have a family that is in your family of God, Lord, and they're going through a tremendous amount of grief right now. Lord, we thank you that Mary is with you right now, that she is dancing in heaven with you, Lord. But Lord, we do pray for comfort for her family that is left here on earth. We pray for guidance as they go through the struggles of just readjusting to life without their mother. Lord, I just pray for your comfort and your peace as they go through this grieving process, and Lord, just continue to guide them through the next few years that are going to be very difficult for them, Lord. And as they make funeral plans today, I pray that everything in that area would go smoothly. They would have no additional troubles. But Lord, we just lift them up. Whenever people in the body have reason to rejoice, we rejoice with them. But whenever there's reason to shed tears, we shed tears with them, Lord. Yeah. And so we come together as a body, grieving with these fellow brothers and sisters. Yeah, and Lord, we just pray your comfort over them. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Here, Karen, would you step here with me? Praise God. You know, if anybody else has the, I guess I'll call it the gift of song, that is not already up, if you're more than welcome to come and to sing, join us up here. Praise God. So let's just let's start off on page 86. The battle belongs to the Lord. The heavenly armor will enter the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord.
No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs.
Oh.
that on?
I don't know.
Oh.
Onward, Christian soldier.
I'm not sure what page that is on.
One ten.
Oh,
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
From this theme of battles, we're so used to in life being surrounded by conflict and battles. And 2 points to that. You have to think in heaven one day after all of this has been complete. It says 3 things will remain: faith, hope, and love. Conflict isn't a part of that. You have to think that someday we are going to reach a point where we will have no more battles, no more pressures to fight against. And it's kind of strange to think of, because our whole lives we feel like we grow when we're pressured, and it's almost scary to think of not having something to fight. But there will be a day where that comes, and God will take care of us in that. But in the meantime, while we're still here, we have the victory in Jesus. He already won that war 2,000 years ago. He already died on a cross. Everything that we need in life, He has already provided, and He is more than capable of coming forward and taking care of. So any battles, any conflicts that you have to have faith that Jesus has already won that victory, and He can take care of it, and all you have to do is reach out towards Him, and He will continue to win your battles for you.
Let's go to page 50 in the back and sing hallelujah to the Lord. Praise God. Just take a few minutes and praise and worship Him. Sing a love song unto Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy, 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 we worship You, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship You, Father. Oh, we bow before You. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious, precious Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. people in this hour that even though there is darkness all over the land, yea, in the land of Goshen there is light. Yea, I say unto thee that the light doth shine in this place, and it doth shine upon thee, my people. And yea, I say unto thee that even though there is darkness around thee, and gross darkness is covering the earth, yea, I say unto thee that with my people and the land of my people, those who are called by my name, the light shall never go out. And yea, I say unto thee, if thou shalt walk in the light, even as I am in the light, yea, I say unto thee that you shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall wash away all sin. Yea, I say unto thee, do not hold back or feel as if you are unworthy. For yea, the blood of Christ has made you worthy. For Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and for your eternal salvation. And as a result of that act, His very life has been imparted to you. That life is that never dying life of God Almighty. It can never die because God can never die. So walk with confidence and with assurance, not in your own strength or in your own power or in your own intellect or your own cleverness, or in any way that is associated with the old man, because the old man has been crucified upon the cross. And the new man of Jesus Christ has been placed within you, and He doth dwell there. Do not worry or do not fret about unworthiness or inability, for the Lord thy God has made Christ unto you righteousness and holiness. Yea, I say unto thee, trust in the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
And I have imparted myself unto you, yea, and I live in you, saith the Lord. Yea, I have transfigured you, I have transformed you, and I shall transfigure and transform you more, saith the Lord. For I have called you to walk into a special way, a new way, that no man has ever walked, saith the Lord. Yea, to come to the fullness of my light, yea, to shine forth that light, to see that light, and I have called you to see the light, to look at the light and not at the darkness. For the world is filled with darkness, saith the Lord, and there is much to look at. Look at the light, saith the Lord, for I shall lead you in light, and ye are children of the light, and I shall show my glory in you as you look at the light, saith the Lord. Look at the light, saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord thy God, I have come to set the captives free, for the enemy has put many in bondage with self-condemnation and attacks that are straight from the enemy. Do not fall prey to these attacks, for although you do wrestle not against flesh and blood, and although you wrestle in a spiritual battle, know that I, the Lord your God, has set you free. And what God has set free is free indeed. So do not put yourself back into bondage. Do not put yourself back into the enemy's yoke where he has his thumb on you. For you are freed. Know this, my children. You are free. I have set the captives free, saith the Lord.
With the distractions and the pressures and hurt and anger, do not get comfortable in that place. Do not find a space of comfort when I am trying to help you grow. Do not become complacent because all you know is pain. But seek out the joy and live in the love that I want for you.
The victory is already won. Oh, come and see the salvation of the Lord. See the victory. See the joy. See the overcoming power that I've given you. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. For I have given you the power and the might to overcome. Now, the battle cry is on. Be victorious. Be victorious. For I have won the battle.
The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall keep your going out and your coming in from this time and even forevermore.
Is it not written, saith the Lord? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not written Christ was the hope of glory, or that Christ will be the hope of glory. But Christ is the hope of glory in you. Yea, saith the Lord, if you will accept this and follow me closely and obey me, saith the Lord, yea, I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Yea, if you dwell in the vine, you shall bear much fruit, saith the Lord. And yea, the fruit that thou dost bearest will feed many, saith your God. For is not my Son dwelling in your heart this day, saith the Lord. Yea, as the psalmist saith, my cup runneth over. Yea, saith your Lord God, your cup shall run over. Yea, and there shall be plenty for others, saith the Lord. So hold not back, follow me closely, saith the Lord. Obey me and seek my face, and I will honor that, saith your God. And I will walk with you, and you shall walk with me. And yea, I will hold your hand. Yea, and you shall hold my hand. Yea, and not only my hand, saith the Lord, you shall hold others' hands. Yea, for I have called thee to go into a dark world. Yea, is it not written that ye have the light of life in your heart, saith your God. Thus saith the Lord.
Oh, my little ones, I do not desire perfection. I do not want perfection, for none of you can be perfect. Only I can be perfect. My children, I just want you to dwell in me, to do my will. My children, you will make mistakes. Every single one of you will make mistakes. You need to come to me. Submit those unto me. And I will comfort you, and I will hold you, and I will renew your strength every day, renew your peace, and you can walk with me, and I will give you rest.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. You may be seated. If the deacons will come now, we're going to take up an offering for the expenses of the camp. If you're writing a check, make it out to Global Missions Regional Camp. I'm going to ask Ethan Malmer, would you come up and just pray a blessing on the offering tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. And Father, we pray that we can use what you've blessed us with to bless others in need. And we pray that this we can have it in our hearts to to give what we can for the camp expenses. And we just pray that this money goes to good use.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Brother Lewis, if you'd like to come up and just, they'll get you wired for sound. Praise God.
Good evening to all. so alone and hopeless. There were times when helplessness was all I'd know. At your at your loving arms around me, and I felt your peace upon me. There were cries of helplessness. There were times I felt alone, but you, dear Lord, you lifted my heart, and I know that you really cared for me as you did. I hope within me it turned from sadness into joy, joy and peace. Oh Lord, as you enfold me, wrapping your loving arms around me, your joy became my strength. For in weakness you made me feel your peace passing understanding. Oh Lord, to you I sing. Let your praises ring from my heart. I sing unto you, oh please, dear Lord, be with me continually. Be with me, Lord. I need you every step of the way. I can't live without you, Lord. You're my help in time of trouble. You're my peace passing understanding. Give me peace of mind, oh Lord, especially at this time. I need your peace. I need you every moment. I need your peace. I need you every moment. I need your peace. I need you every moment.
glory to God. Indeed, it is a pleasure, a privilege to be here in North Carolina, my wife and myself. This is her first time in North Carolina. Though it's my second time, I stood up as though it was the first time. Because, really, it's the first time here. And it's really nice being here. And something I've really appreciated is that you dear ones have remembered, and some of you mentioned to me that you were praying for me. And that was back in 2006 when basically I was dead. When your organs fail, liver, lungs, kidneys, pancreas, all collapsed, and being on a ventilator working at 95%, being in a coma for 2 weeks, and to be today standing here, that's a miracle of miracles. And to God be the glory. He deserves all the praise, all the honor. It's all His. Hallelujah. Thank Him for that. And more, I can tell you. But before I begin to share with you, I'd like to extend greetings to you from the Caribbean. The Caribbean is the West Indies. It's all the same. And on behalf of the traveling deacons out there, Brother Cephas Ford, who himself was quite unwell for a little while, started at the end of the year last year into this year, but thank God he is all okay now, we would say, and we're looking for him to be back in service, so to speak. Brother Bernard James also asked to extend greetings, so greetings extended to you on their behalf and the local churches in their area, as well as the other local churches and elders and deacons. Some asked to be particularly asked to mention, but my goodness, if I start to mention names, then we're not going to get too far tonight. So in terms of, well, getting the message in. But our camp also would be starting on the 5th of August. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time out there in Antigua. And how about coming down? Well, we sure would love for you to come down. Amen. We've had some wonderful camps. And you should start planning for next camp if you're not coming this time. Okay? Praise the Lord. If perchance I've forgotten anything, well, whoever's hearing me or whatever, just to know that like from St. Thomas, Antigua, there are folks in St. Martin, Dominica, in Barbados, in St. Lucia, in Grenada, in Trinidad, in Guyana. Well, Brother Prasad has been here. Greetings from all of those islands. Praise the Lord. So much for that. This evening I would like to share concerning the authority of Christ. And that's something that has been going around in my heart. And when I hearing the different ones minister, to me it just dovetail into some of the things that I've felt on my heart. So the authority of Christ, the question is, How did he come by his authority? Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. And reading from verse 13, verse 1-3 to verse 17 as a start. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for all things you have done. We thank you for your mercies and for your faithfulness, Lord. Your kindness toward us, you've demonstrated time and time again your love for us, Lord. And Lord God, now as we look into your word, let your word, Father, minister to our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit unveil, dear Father, even what I may not say, Lord, you speak it into our hearts. And inspire us all, and let your anointing flow in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So reading from verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit or suffer. Now I'm reading from the New King James. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Let me just stop there a moment to say this. Jesus' baptism has nothing to do with sin. Jesus' baptism, as he said to John, allow it to be so now. Allow it to be so now. For there is a purpose for my baptism. And the purpose is not to deliver from sin or any such. Let's read on. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to what? Fulfill all righteousness. So this had to be the important thing for Jesus allowing John, and John didn't want to do it. But he said, listen, this has to be in order that all righteousness would be fulfilled in me. Because you know what? That righteousness is what would be passed on to us. Amen. In order that we would be able to enter into his kingdom. Without righteousness, no man shall see God. And Jesus had to be baptized. Why? He was not God on earth. He was man. Amen? He was man. And the man needed the power that was requisite in order that he would fulfill the purpose for which he came. So if there was no righteousness or the fulfilling of righteousness in him, there would be no righteousness in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So allow it to be so now, John. The purpose is that we fulfill all, not in part, but all righteousness. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son," hallelujah, "in whom I am well pleased." Isn't that wonderful? Here was God. No angel, no this person or that person, or not just a man saying something, but this was the Almighty God giving his approval on what his Son had done, hallelujah, to fulfill all righteousness. He took the step that was necessary. And as a result of that, the way was clear, so that us all and more can also fulfill all righteousness. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. We can and we must. Hallelujah. So, Jesus pleased the Father. Hallelujah. He must have shown himself to be responsible. And that's why he did what he did. And that's the reason why also he could have been given the authority that he has. I'm not going in the past for that. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why we too can have the authority to do the things that he has called us to do. Hallelujah. So, Jesus begins to show his authority. Let's look at chapter 4, Matthew's Gospel. We're continuing on in this book and chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now that, to my mind, is just really, I don't think I have words to express that. But here it is. What is that? The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. For what purpose? To be tempted. To be tested. To be tried. Remember, he has received authority? Hallelujah. But now he has to demonstrate, and I don't mean it the way the world speaks about it, but to be able to stand against every foe that would come against him, regardless of the form that would take. Hallelujah. So what happens? He was led up by the Spirit. Many of us would say, you must be crazy. The Spirit of God wouldn't do that. You know, there are a lot of things we say the Spirit of God wouldn't do. But you know what? God can do what he chooses, when he chooses, to whom he chooses. He doesn't have to ask anybody a question as to what he wants to do or why he should do it. We are the ones who do that, but not him. He is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He is the all-wise God. He is the all-knowing God. He does not have to give us a reason for whatever he does. But whatever he does it well. Hallelujah. So, here is the Spirit of God at work. Here is Jesus available. Jesus himself, he was going into the wilderness. And that was preparation for greater things. Hallelujah. So what the Spirit of God does? He leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What a fool. And when he had fasted 40 days, preparation. You know, some of us, we like our stomachs very well. Sometimes too well. Here was Jesus about to, but given a responsibility, about to start, start that ministry. But look at what he had to face before. Look at the preparation. Some of us, we find it difficult to take a little time off to spend with God, that God can speak to us, minister unto us, that he can lead us the way that he wants to. The sacrifice is too great for many of us. But here was Jesus. And going to be tempted, going to be tested, going to be tried. And what does he do? He goes on a hunger fast. He goes on a fast. My goodness. 40 days, 40 nights, not eating anything. And there he is with his adversary and bombarding him every which way. Well, he was preparing for the task ahead of him, and he faced challenges there in the wilderness. Challenge number one, verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was what? Hungry. I tell you this. There's a friend of ours. He was a brother in the Lord also. He passed away some years ago. But he told us the story of himself one time. He was fasting, as with others. And where they were at the meeting place, fasting, not too far from there, well, of course, there was a house, and there was cooking. And he began to smell the aroma of the food. That was the end of his fast. How many of us are like that? I saw one hand. But you know, seriously, it's a battle for some. Your stomach cries out and you feel, no boy, I can't make it anymore, you know. I gotta have something. And right there, we break the fast. Maybe if we had just persevered just a little longer, we would have overcome that. Just think about Jesus in that wilderness. And here is the enemy, knowing the state of Jesus, the condition of Jesus at that time, and doing, well, bombarding him, so to speak. And Jesus has to withstand all of this bombardment. But Jesus took up responsibility. Hallelujah. And the reason why he was given authority, it was for him to be able to accomplish the things that needed to be accomplished, and that spoke of and speaks of responsibility. We must be responsible for our spiritual well-being. You see, God is. Yes, He is. But you know what? Only as we yield it to God, God is able to work on our part, that we can be the responsible people that He wants us to be, that we can have the authority that He wants us to have. And Jesus, when being hungry, and the enemy knowing this, verse 3, now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, do you realize what is happening here? This is challenge number 2. First of all, he was hungry. Challenge number 2. Seeds of doubt. He was sowing in the mind of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But here is Satan, fighting maybe a mental battle. If you are, they say you're the Son of God. You say you're the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, now prove it to me. So what happens? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Well, you know what? I might have said, oh, you want me to prove it? Okay, I'll prove it. Right there, I would have lost the battle. The authority that I would have claimed to have had, I've lost it because I've given in to another authority that has no place in the kingdom of God. We have to be careful, brethren. There are so many things that we just allow to sidetrack us, and we miss the mark that we were headed toward. It's easy. You know, sometimes we have friends who they're not walking like they should. Brethren even, not walking as they should. And we allow ourselves to be swayed by their little chat, by things that they do, places that they may want us to follow them to, and all such things. We've got to take a hold of our spiritual lives, and the well-being of it is absolutely important, more important than anything this world can offer us. You know, we're in the process of growth. Things would happen as we grow. But there are things that doesn't have to happen if we follow or be led by the right spirit. We're not going to follow some of the things and do some of the things and say some of the things that we allow to come from us. Here was Jesus. He was focused. Hallelujah. And that is one of the things also that hinders us. We remove our gaze from the focus where we should have been focusing, and we allow whatever little thing just to cause our eyes to move away just for that split second. That's where we get caught. So I might have turned those stones into bread. But Jesus didn't. What happens? Verse 4. He answered and said, it is written. How did he know it's written? He read it. How would you know what's in your Bible if you don't read it? How would you know what promises God has for you, for me, for us, if we don't read it? The Word of God tells us, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, in order that we may rightly divide the word of truth. Well, if we don't know it, we can't divide it. If we don't know it, we can't stand on the promises given to us. And that's a problem, I believe, where the church is concerned. There are a lot of things that we are allowing to overtake us and to crush us. And it's in God's word telling us how we can overcome, how we can win the battles. Brethren, the times that we're living in are the end times. Oh yeah, since I was a child, I've been hearing that. But you know what? I'm not a child now. And that is a lot of years that have passed unto now. And I've seen a lot of change in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It means that from the day I was born to now, it is that time closer to His coming than when I was born. Hallelujah. He didn't tell us when He was going to return. But He told us there would be signs. And those signs would be a good indication. Even then, He still didn't say, well, look, I'm going to be here in the year 2099. Or what? But you know, we may not live to see 2099. I remember when I came into this move, and I saw, my goodness, a lot of young people, a lot of lovely people, a lot of people. You know what I've been hearing for the past few years? This brother, that sister has died. So many deaths. So many people I don't see anymore. Why? They have gone on. How many of us here are getting younger? Yeah, right. I side with you there, you know. But the fact of the matter is, none of us knows, whether young or old, when the call would come. So whether or not Jesus appears in the next 5-10 years, you and I, we do not have the guarantee that we will be around the next 5-10 years. I plan to be, though, you know. But my plans may not be God's plans. And so what is important is that I'm ready. And I'm prepared. You could be prepared and not ready. You know that? But we need to cover all those bases. Hallelujah. That we would be sure that whatever it is, whenever the time is, we'd hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's all of those things that Jesus was preparing us for when He went into the wilderness there and went through and won the battle, won the test. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what did He stand upon, though? Not just what He thought. Not just what He felt to say. but it was the word that he stood upon. Hallelujah. What are we standing on? Upon whom are we standing? The songwriter says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Let's go on. So we are on the second seeds of doubt was sown. If you are, you know what? Somebody saying that to you, you know, you start thinking, wait, am I? Is this really so? Am I really who I think I am? And once that starts to happen there and you start engaging yourself in that thinking, that way of thinking, doubt starts to, unless you do what Jesus did. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what? You got to be hearing God speak. Hallelujah. You got to be hearing God speak. Amen. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. No, hey. Remember Jesus told him, it is written. Now he comes back to Jesus. Well, listen. It is written. What you're saying is, it's written. So do it. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And he left something out. And he went on. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You realize Satan knows the word too? And he chooses to leave out what suits him. That's why we need to know the word ourselves. What is happening here? Now this was the third challenge. So he goes to the scripture. If as I said, the devil he knows the word. And he uses it to his convenience. Hallelujah. But what happened? What did he do here? He quoted, but he left out. In Psalm 91, he left out what? To keep you in all your ways. Now, if Jesus had put his life into Satan's hands, remember he quoted this. Let's read it again. In verse 6, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. Now, the verse continues to keep you, hallelujah, in all your ways. And we go back to what Satan now is quoting, which is the scriptures. in their hands. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But you know what? He wanted to dash Jesus, get him into his hands, and dash him. So he left it out. Right? To keep you, he wouldn't keep him. And that is what he does to us. That is what he does to us. When we allow ourselves in his hand. You think he loves us? No. You think he loved Jesus? You think he really wanted to help Jesus? Not at all. If he didn't want to help Jesus, why would he want to help us? Satan has no help for us. The Word of God tells us very clearly, our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Any other help, it's false. Hallelujah. Oh my God. God's plan for us, believe you me, we haven't really understood it all as yet. But you know what? We're growing into it. And the more we hunger and thirst after the things of God, the more God is going to reveal unto us, and we will be able to walk as the people whom he said, be ye perfect, even as my Father who is in heaven is perfect. Glory. Hallelujah. Look, just as a babe is born and grows up like all of us have, into maturity, it is the same thing that has to take place in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. If we want to spoon feed all the time, we're not going to get anywhere. If you want to just be using milk all the time, we're not going to get anywhere. We'd be overthrown very easily. But the time we decide that, you know what? I'm maturing. I'm in a battle. I'm on a journey. Hallelujah. And I have got to get to the end of that journey. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. We can and we will. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and what? Gave himself for us. He did that in order that we too would be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there again, Satan with his challenge, he didn't win. Even though Jesus was hungry, but he was strong enough in his faith in his Father to keep him, to sustain him, that he didn't allow the aroma to drag him away and lose the battle in which we all would have been losers then. Hallelujah. God said he would give his angels charge. But it's not the fallen angels. Satan and his cohorts, they're the fallen ones. And here it is that he is doing all that he could. Look at how he fights, huh? How much do we fight? How much do we fight for the cause we believe? Or what sort of belief is it? Is it just belief that words come from our mouths? Or is it belief that deep within our heart we believe it and nothing is going to sway us from continuing on and holding on to what we truly believe? If we believe like that, we would be a strong people. We heard about unity. And that's what God has called us onto. To be a united people, that no force that comes against that people would be able to penetrate. And more, brethren, we have to look in that direction. more and more we have to allow, or not allow, rather, the trivial things to tear us apart. More and more we have to understand all of these things are there, but it is a matter of how we handle them, how we deal with them. Whether we're going to stick together or we're going to allow ourselves to be fragmented. And if we're fragmented, we can say, well, hey, that's it. Nothing will really hold together. But the body of Christ is what? One. Amen? It's one. And if that body is one, regardless as to what is happening there, that body has to remain one unless we do that. We're not going anywhere. Because there would be always holes that would be cropping up there. And there would be a lot of leakage. No, let's cement the body. Let the Spirit of God do that. Hallelujah. That we can be truly empowered and realize the authority that we have. Because it's given to us by Jesus. Hallelujah. And let us use that authority effectively, that the kingdom of God would be the winner. Hallelujah. So Jesus answered in verse 7, he said, it is written. Now the importance of using the word, the scriptures, quoting it, it was very important to Jesus. His response, ideally, it is written. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 4 and 12, you don't have to turn there, but this is what it says. For the word of God, it is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. What it does? It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. That's the word. A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We don't need carnal weaponry. We don't need guns and knives and whatever else today we think is our defense. If our defense isn't God, I tell you this, all of the defense that we could build up ourselves, it's of no value, because what we think to be powerful and what we think could defend us, somebody has something a bit more powerful and can penetrate our defense. But you know what? God is our protector. He is our shield. He is our covering. Hallelujah. He is our all and in all. I'm saying, even as home, you know what we do? We pray, God, you watch over our property. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ all around. I remember some years ago we were going to camp, and there were some things that were going on that we were concerned about. But you know what? We went to camp. We prayed and we pled the blood of Jesus upon our property. We got back home. Everything was fine. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to exercise our faith. We need to realize, you know what? We trust so much in what others may be able to do, rather than trusting in what God is able to protect us from and preserve for us. Hallelujah. We've got to come away, brethren. We've got to be able to start standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah. There is authority that He has given to us. We need to start using that authority. And He says, having done all, to stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We get too caught up with the activities of the day and what we hear is happening, and we feel because it happens to that one, it's going to happen to us. Where is our God? Where is our God? Has He gone asleep? He doesn't have pajamas. Hallelujah. If Jesus' God had gone asleep, the devil would have done all that he wanted to do and get away with it. But there he was in the wilderness. And the Father was there to protect him. Jesus was able to stand because he knew that the Father wouldn't let him down. We have become too dependent on what the service of the day can do for us. We need to have that faith in our God, hallelujah, where we truly believe God that He is going to fight our battles for us. Hallelujah. We need to take stock of ourselves. We need to take hold of what God said He would do for us. We can't see Him doing anything for us because we're always quick to run ahead. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, He says, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what for us? God is too slow. So we've got to fix it. And when nothing works, then we remember God. Jesus, thank you for what you did. Hallelujah. Challenge number 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And I tell you this, huh? It had to have some sort of effect on Jesus. As man. But again, remember his condition? He was fasting. 40 days, 40 nights, being bombarded. You're hungry, man, make bread. Eat bread, man. That bread would have killed him. Now he shows them all of the splendors, all of the beauty and all of everything else. Man, I could give that to you. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Huh? Here is Jesus. And he said to him, Satan. And he said to him in verse 9, all these things I will give you. If you will fall down and worship me. Yes, the devil promises Jesus the world to be worshipped. Hallelujah. If the King of Glory would bow before Satan, it would mean to him, that's the Satan, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that he, Satan, is Lord to his glory. Let's just read what Philippians chapter 2 says in verses 9 and 10. And I want you to see how Jesus would have transferred to Satan what really is his. Not Satan's, but Jesus's. Therefore, verse 9, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of, not Satan, Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every doesn't mean accepting, that which is exempted. It takes in what it says, every, not some, not almost all, but it is all. Amen? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So now you just think about that situation there. If Jesus followed Satan in what Satan was asking of him, do you realize that he would have been transferring his kingdom to the kingdom of Satan? Jesus would not have been Lord. He would not have been King of Kings. He would not have been Lord of Glory. He would have passed that on to Satan. So now what would happen? Jesus would have to bow before Satan. In fact, that's what he was asking him to do. Hallelujah. How many of us, we do exactly that? What Satan is asking of Jesus, but what Jesus didn't do. Thank God. Because, brethren, if Jesus had only done any such thing, where would have been our hope? Huh? Where would have been our hope? Where would our faith be? There would be no kingdom to enter, of God, that is. Hallelujah. Thank God he didn't dethrone himself. Jesus, that is. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said, hallelujah. Now he is stamping his authority. Huh? He didn't give it up, but he is letting Satan know in no uncertain way or terms who he really is. Jesus, whom he really is. So what is going on now? Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. He was not trying to pull something from here or from there. He was going direct to the source. Amen. Hallelujah. It is written. You can't take that away. That's established. Hallelujah. You shall worship the Lord your God. Yes. Well, you remember what we just read in Philippians? Every knee shall bow, every tongue, every shall confess. As I said just now, every doesn't mean some, you know. The day will come when Satan himself will have to bow before the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Every does not exempt any. So, why go on the side of Satan? When he and his cohorts also would have to bow. Let's not join him. Let's not join them. We have been delivered into the kingdom of his dear Son. God's Son I'm talking about. That's the people that he has brought out from chaos and brought us into the glorious light of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So, then the devil, I guess I didn't finish verse 10. Anyway, he says, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. You shall have no other gods before me. Hallelujah. And him only you shall serve. Who said that? Jesus did. Hallelujah. There it was. He stamped his authority. Authority that the Father had given to him. He was not in any way causing the Father to be sorry for what he did. He did not in any way disappoint the Father. Hallelujah. Ah, Lord. Remember the word of God says, Jesus became perfect by the things which he suffered? Don't tell me this was not suffering. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that this was not suffering. A hungry belly with all of the bombardment of everything else. And as a human being, seeing all of these things, don't tell me he was not suffering. But even as he says to us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, Jesus demonstrated the Father was in him and he was obedient to the Father. And glory to God, that's the reason why the Father placed the authority that he did upon him. And Jesus made himself responsible. Hallelujah. And he responded to every attack that came his way. He did not give in. Should we give in? Should we give in? No. No. Because we have the power in us to resist. He says it, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. So here is Jesus. Satan is defeated. The angels ministers to him. His ministry takes off. Glory to God. He passed the test. Hallelujah. So because he conquered, we are not just conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. He has overcome every challenge set before him by Satan. Jesus now goes forth, having been tested and tried. His foe has been defeated. From there on, his authority is made manifest. In whatever he does or says, he also makes it clear he does not operate in isolation, but is dependent on the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Now in John chapter 5, praise the Lord. And I'm just going to point out just one, two more things. And we're going to close. There are quite a few things that but I'm not going to. John chapter 5. And first of all, verse 30. Hallelujah. Here is Jesus. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Hallelujah. And my judgment is righteous. Hallelujah. because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Hallelujah. Do you see the reason why he had the authority? Because listen, a father who has a trusted son will pass on responsibility to the son. Yes? And this is exactly what happened in the case of Jesus and the Father. And that's the reason why he was able to have the authority that he has and be responsible as he is. So what do we take from that? He says, greater works than these shall we do, because he was going to the Father. So he has not left us without, but he has left us armed, so to speak, that we can continue what Jesus began to do and to teach. I'm going to stop there. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We have no announcements tonight. Does anybody have anything that they want to announce this evening? Mary Jane?
So because I got voluntold, the meeting won't be for the women on Thursday at 2. It's going to be tomorrow at 3, just in case everybody didn't get that message this morning and you left early. So it's tomorrow at 3. Pardon?
One meeting for the week?
Yeah, one meeting. Just one meeting. Oh, in the cafeteria, or where we eat, you know, in that room behind there. And, never mind.
Anybody else? Let's close in prayer. Father, we bow our hearts before you and thank you, Lord, for your precious word tonight, Lord, the stirring of our hearts, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that as you abide, as we abide with you, Lord, you said that you would abide with us. And Father, we stand on your word tonight, Lord God. Father, we just want to seek you with all of our hearts, Lord God. We just thank you for the privilege, Lord, of serving you. And Father, let us use the things that you've given us, Lord, our gifts and ministries. Let us walk in the order that you've shown us, Lord God. Father, bless your people in this hour, Lord God, as we wait upon you. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Father, bless our treats and our fellowship tonight, Lord God. And Lord, just give us a good night's rest, Lord, and prepare our hearts for tomorrow. Father, we give you the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.